holy oil, exorcism water. They should always be with you. I don't know if you use this type of thing.
Yeah.
We carry our gun everywhere we go. And how we use this holy water is not just holy like this, because there are spirits in the air, in the atmosphere, on the ground. I belong to the International Association for Deliverance and Exorcism in Rome. I don't know. I think it was maybe 10 years ago that one of the professors had mentioned, because we have teaching from the Vatican at our conference, that they kept praying for this house that was haunted, but they were only using the water around, like so. And then one of them had the discernment, well, there are evil spirits in the air, so we must also approach the air. And they began to do that. And then they realized that the spirits in the air ended up on the ground. And that was the only way that they were able to deliver that house. And this, my brothers and sisters, is when we come together with about 300 priests and about 27 lay people, where we learn from one another. And this is what I want to convey to you, that we're here to learn from one another. Because the Holy Spirit has so many gifts, and He spreads them around so we can learn what the Holy Spirit has taught you and what the Holy Spirit is teaching you, and share with one another. So that this way, we can help the community, our brothers and sisters, in so many different ways, in ways that we did not know. And gosh, I'm not gonna go right here that I can use. And so, I begin. Jesus once told His disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Matthew 9:37-38. I was a founder of Christian Women in Action 41 years ago. We call it Action because the Lord told me that that was the name of the organization. And the action is the corporate works. We do the corporate works, minister to the poor, the hungry, the needy, those in jail, alcoholic, the homosexual, the poor, the hungry, the needy, the lonely, the divorced, the separated, the widow. Our membership is about 500. We're also building a church in South America for the poorest of the poor, and it will be named John Paul II. I asked the Lord if He wanted me to name the church John Paul II, that He was to bring the money. And you know, it takes 9 months for a baby to be birthed, and it was 9 months that it took to collect the money to build the church. He served an awesome God.
Amen.
He knows every little bit of me. He knows every hair in our head. How much more does He not know about our heart and the desire to be one with Him, the desire to serve Him? I will humbly come to share with you the ministry of healing and deliverance for the past 41 years. The experiences that I have gone through, what I have seen, and how God can use us in so many different ways. There's something new every day. Something that we hadn't seen yesterday, we see today. It's a new day, every day. How the Holy Spirit has given us the gift of wisdom, knowledge, discernment. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 11. To be used for His glory, not our glory. The more humble that we are, the more God can use us. If we become prideful because we lay hands on someone or we pray as a team for deliverance, and we say, oh, I did this, God will pull the carpet from under your feet and you will fall flat. of your faith. And that's what the enemy wants, my brothers and sisters. Do I know him? Not only do I know him, I have seen him. I have fought a battle with him. In my teaching, I will give you examples and things that I have gone through. Be aware. When Poland was still communist, I was there praying for people. I was invited there. I was invited there by the Protestants because the Catholics could not come in those days. But not only was I serving the Protestants, but I was serving the Catholics. There was no such way that the Catholics would have gone into the Protestant churches or the Protestants gone into the Catholic church. But he knew what he was doing when he called me and allowed me to go there and supply everything for me. And I was placed in Krakow at the Poor Clare's Monastery. I was staying there. And they were taking care of me while I was going out and teaching. I asked one of the sisters who was serving us our meal, what is that big building across the street? She said, oh, honey, that through the interpreter, that is the communist building, the biggest building in Krakow. Krakow used to be the capital of Poland. So I said to my interpreter and my assistant, I never travel alone, and I never work alone. And don't ever try to work alone. The enemy is tricky. I said, today, after we finish the work, we are going to go around that building. And we're going to pray, and the Communist Party will die. In Jesus' name. That's how much power he has given us if we know him, and if we live for him. God honors our words. God honors our prayers. And I want to convey that to you, to live that kind of life in order to be used by God in a very powerful, profound way. We took the holy water and the salt, and we went around the communist building. Now they have cameras, they have dogs, they have, that's another thing that the Lord does. He makes us invisible. Going into Poland at the airport, everybody was checked except me. I'm going with a suitcase. There was even a priest in front of me. And they checked his suitcase and everything was turned upside down. And I'm walking with my suitcase, my assistant is on my side. And I'm waiting for the guy to search me. And he looks over to the person behind me. So I'm standing there with the suitcase. So I walk right through. That's just little things that I'm just throwing in. It's showing you how God makes me invisible. He's made me invisible many times. And also my team. When we went to Washington to place all the miraculous medals around the White House and around the Capitol. Nobody could have gotten that close, but we did because they didn't see us. Anyway, going back to Poland, that afternoon that we went around that building and we prayed. And I, in the name of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit, commanded that spirit to leave, to die. That night, my brothers and sisters, Satan came to visit me in our little home. My secretary, who was Protestant, and that's how I was brought into Poland, and I was sharing a little in those days, now beds are bigger, a little bitty bed. One on each side, half of what a twin size bed. She had one, I had the other. And then our interpreter was in the other little room. We had prayed together in the spirit. And then we prayed the rosary, my interpreter and I, because my assistant was Protestant. And then we went to bed about 10 o'clock at night. And I was still saying the rosary just before I would go back to sleep myself. And all of a sudden, Satan grabs me from my leg and he throws me up in the air, and this was a form of a black bear. I did not know that is the black bear. I did not know at that time. And all I could do was grab my secretary's leg as I went up in the air, and I hollered at her, and I went up in the air. When I was coming down, she jumped and she saw what's going on. Now, Henrietta had just finished taking the training of spiritual warfare. So she had learned, and she put to practice what she had learned before we went to Poland. So she was fighting and fighting. So she calls Regina. Regina was my interpreter. Regina had just come into the Lord because I had prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit on her. And Regina wasn't praying in tongues yet. But Regina took up her rosary, and that's another vow that we should always have with us, Andy. Regina was sitting there praying the rosary while Marilyn was praying in tongues. And both of them were crying out to the Lord, and I was on the floor fighting Satan in the form of a black bear. Rolled up and down, up and down. This, it shouldn't scare you because you shouldn't be afraid, because we know we have the victory. Though he was bigger and stronger, I wasn't afraid because I knew I was covered with the blood of the Lamb. God had sent me there. God will take care of me. That's how we should feel all the time. If he sends me, wherever he sends me, he's going to take care of me. After, I can't tell you how long, I never asked the girl how long it took. He finally threw me under the table and he disappeared. They pulled me up and we sat there half of the night praying. And thank you, God. Things like this happen when you go fight a battle. 10 days after we arrived in the United States, the news was communists was no longer in power. God is a victory. God knows what he has in here, where he's going to send you. And he already knows what you're going to be doing. And you must never be afraid. Never be afraid. If God is for us, who can be against us? The Spirit of God has set us free. And if something would happen, praise God, we will be with him in glory. And that's the attitude that I want to put in you today. Never to be afraid. Stand strong. And know he's won the victory. And all we have to do is claim it. However, you must live that life. As you all know, it is not an easy ministry. But of giving up oneself to God so that we can help the wounded people of God. My brothers and sisters, there are so many wounded people in our church in many different ways, many different forms. The priest can't do it by himself. He's got things to do for himself. But we, the laity, can help the priest. We, the laity, must keep. This is what has happened. I'm going to be very frank with you because I know what God teaches me, what the Holy Spirit shows me. I'm going to be very frank. The reason that our priest has failed us is because we have stopped praying for them. You hear me now? We need to keep our priests in prayer. The more we pray for them, the better they can use us, including our deacons. The less we pray for them, the less they can do for us. We have to keep their hands up when they're tired. We, our prayers, keep their hands up. And through prayer, they will be strong. Prayer, they can see the hand of God. Through prayer, they can see the need of God's people. In the olden days, I'm almost 87 years old, but in the olden days, we used to have so much respect for our priests, and we prayed for them. And that has died. That has died from the laity. No respect, no love, and no prayer. My brothers and sisters, they are the man of God, the persona of God. When they stand up to say mass, it's another Christ. They're the only ones that can give us the Eucharist. So we, who are spiritually educated, must educate the uneducated. The priest can't do it alone. It is those that God has called from the sides, byways and highways, that has given us the gifts of the Holy Spirit and opened our spiritual eyes to see with spiritual eyes and spiritual heart and spiritual ears. That we know because we know because we know that God is working in our lives, through us and with us and for us. And that we are to nourish and help our priests to finish the work that Jesus began here on earth. I have great respect for our priests, great respect for our bishop, for our deacons. And it should be planted in our children. Some of the kids don't even know what a nun is like because they're telling where they have it. Who is that when they see one with a habit? It's a lack of spiritual education from home. We need to educate them at home, not at the church. They should be already evangelized when they come into the church. And that's what you have been called. You have a special ministry and special gifts that God has given you. The ministry requires us to live a life dedicated to God. And we are targets of the enemy. He comes against us, especially when we are taking his children away from him. Oh, the attacks that we get. And remember, when he's attacking, share it with the other in the community that they may pray and help you. That's the only way that you can be able to overcome, because the attacks are great. That's why a lot of priests do not stay in the ministry of exorcism. They burn. It's too hard. It's too much work. But you know who's hurting? God's children. And you know what's lacking? Much prayer. In the scripture, what did Jesus say to the apostles when they couldn't cast that spirit off? The lack of prayer. These demons need to be prayed with a lot of faith and a lot of prayer. So I don't care if they're still priests. They still sin. They're like us. We need to pray for them. And then I'm going to give you examples in a few minutes of what happens if they don't. The enemy knows if we are in sin or not. So we must not approach going into the ministry with a mortal sin. You need to go to confession before you help your priest for the deliverance. You need to go to confession at least once a month or twice a month. You need to keep this vessel clean. I was in a country, I will not name the name of the country, I was in a country ministry when the group leader asked me if I would pray for this doctor. He said, two priests have already prayed for him and a bishop. They can't help you. Do you think you could help? I said, I'll try. And I said, why couldn't the priest or the bishop deliver them? And they said, every time that the priest would approach the doctor, and I'll tell you about the doctor, the demons in the doctor would tell the priest personally. So you see what I'm saying? And that's what happens to the three of them. They were approaching the demons when they needed to go to confession. And who are you? I live in you. This doctor, young doctor, I think he was about 30, 31, was in the emergency room. And every time that a Catholic would come in with either a cross or a Blessed Mother, a medal of Blessed Mother, the doctor would go ballistic in the emergency room. And he was about to lose his job. So he had left the church when he went to medical school. He wanted power, and he began to search in different areas. Yoga, meditation, witchcraft, all this stuff that he did not know what he was doing to himself. I met the mother. He wanted to be healed, so he went to the Catholic Church. He was able to be healed when I came, and I brought the team, and we prayed about it. And those priests were the lesson. Now, we just don't pray for the person and then send them home. Before I sent him home, I took the team to his house. This is something that you need to know. Because you're not going to take him and put him back into the house where those demons are, because he'll be there seven more for everyone that came out. As we walked into his room, the mother was so happy that we went into the house. We said, house cleaning. So we went into the house, and the minute I walked into the door, I knew it was an evil place. We began to wash, like I said, up, down, and all around, and just praying in the spirit. In his room, the devil would give him words, and his whole walls were covered with a magic marker of the words that the demon would tell him to write. You know how people have pictures on the walls? Well, he had writings on all the walls. Sprayed with the holy water, the exorcism water, and washed the walls. Then I went in the room and I looked around and I am asking the Holy Spirit, show me what is good. Show me what's in here that needs to come out of here, that is not edifying me. I began to pull the books that he had of all those places that he had been involved. We had stacks of books, pornography books. The mother said, what can we do with this? I said, show me the backyard. We took all those books and magazines and things that paraphernalia that he had. We piled them all up, and in the name of Jesus, I command every spirit that was in there to be bound and cast out to the foot of the cross, never to return to that home or to that man, that doctor. We beat a fire, and it would poof, and black smoke, and it smelled so bad. And as this black smoke was coming up, I was praying that it would go away. So you see, my brothers and sisters, not just praying for the person. We have to finish the homework so you can understand the importance of your spiritual life when being in the deliverance ministry. I recommend my team to spend much time before the Blessed Sacrament, but a confession often at Mass daily. Make a way. Get up early before an early Mass. You must have Jesus in you, in your temple, every day if you're in this ministry. That's why I say it's work. And this ministry is not for everybody. You can't say, oh, I want to be in this ministry. I like this ministry. God calls the people, and the Holy Spirit equips us. It's not, I'm going to keep counting. It's not an easy ministry. And if you feel that you're weak and you cannot do what you're supposed to do, it's best that you step down or you weaken the link of the ministry. One person can weaken the link of the chain of the team. You are to support one another. No gossip, no talking behind one another. Because this is what the enemy likes. He will set one person and he can destroy the ministry. One person can destroy the ministry because that person will open themselves to the enemy and he will use it. And he will be waiting to see who is open so that he can come in and destroy God's work. You must sit before the Blessed Sacrament. And I don't need 5 minutes. I don't know how much time you will have. Before I minister, I like to sit 3 and 4 hours. But my usual is 2 hours before the Blessed Sacrament, after Mass or before Mass. That I may be in tune with the Holy Spirit, and that I can move in the Spirit, that I may have the discernment to know what God wants me to do, when, where, and how. The more Christ you have in your temple, the more you can give. The less you have of Christ, the less you can give. One very strong gift that I recommend that if you do not have it, and it's very, very important that you pray and ask for it, is the gift of discernment. Don't have it, ask for it. If you are in the team, ask for it. God will give it to you. When we're praying for someone, we must be able to discern the interior, the condition of the oppressed person, whether you are dealing with an ancestor spirit or a personal spirit, father's side or the mother's side. An ancestor spirit can go 4 or 5 generations. An ancestor spirit can even both sides, father and mother. When the doctor says they can't find anything wrong and they run all kinds of tests, my brothers and sisters, I assure you that it's not a physical, but it's a spiritual. So you're dealing with spiritual things. So then you have to give a discernment. I need to discern what it is. And this is why the church sends want to go to a psychologist or psychologist. But if you have that gift of discernment, you can discern it right away. I help the priest when they don't know what it is. Because God has given me that strong gift of discernment. That I can look into the heart and I know what spirit lives there. That's the power of the Spirit of God. That's what I want you to pray for. That God gives you a very strong spirit so you can help the priest and the defendant. And where do you get that? Not from the books. You get it from in front of the Eucharist. Adoration Chapel. Day and night if you can. I may discern, but I always want confirmation. So I want the team to confirm what I discern. Or I can discern what the team has discerned. It works. We're a team. We're a team. Working together. No one putting more than the other. All the team together. I've noticed that in some countries where I have been teaching the deliverance team, the whole team is calling the spirits. And my brothers and sisters, this is another one. Only one who is leading, which is the priest or one of the laity that has a very strong gift of spirit. And the rest of the team is praying in the spirit. The Holy Spirit in Japan told me, pray only in the spirit. Because the Spirit of God knows exactly what the person needs, and the enemy does not like for us to pray in the spirit. You know, we will be standing there praying and saying, Lord, give me this. This is what you're saying. But when you pray in the Spirit, you come out of the The Spirit of God knows exactly how to pray and intercede more so than our prayer. I've seen the power of the Holy Spirit through tongues work in a profound way. So if you don't have the gift of tongues, ask the community to pray over. So it is praying in tongues all the time. I have two teams. In one team is the one who prays in tongues with Father. There's nine of us. And these are people that are just accepting what I am just saying to you. They go to Mass daily. They spend before the Blessed Sacrament time. They pray the rosary. They live holy lives. They live the Ten Commandments. They go to confession. My team goes to confession 2 or 3 times a month. The other team in the other room, in the chapel, those maybe 20 to 25, depends on how many they come. People that have been helped in deliverance, that they want to help others. They're in that room out there. And they will start the divine mercy. That's another thing the Holy Spirit showed me. The power in the rosary of the divine mercy. Wow! The deliverance is done so quickly when we say that. That other team are in another room separate, praying the divine mercy. And it doesn't make any difference if it's 30 minutes or 3 hours. They will repeat the divine mercy over and over and over until we finish in the other room. And then the other room is constantly in the tongues praying. And boy, the enemy does not like for us to pray in tongues. And that's why it comes right out. And sometimes screaming and saying, shut up, be quiet, I hate you. And in Jesus' name, I silence them. Father is there with us. David is in training with us. We're training him and then he'll take over. And in the team that is helping with the person that we're praying for deliverance, we have 2 notebooks and a table and pens. The team does not speak to one another. All they are is in prayer in tongues. If they discern a spirit, they write it down and the notebook is on the table, and I can look at the spirit that they have discerned, write it down, and I call that spirit. After I have discerned it, that is spirit in there. Never have once, and my assistant is up there, never have one of them been discerned that has not come out. So I know that team really are under the anointing, the power of the Holy Spirit, and discerning at that very moment. So one of them crosses that spirit out. And then I look to another. But sometimes the same spirit discern on both sides of the table. I like that because we're in one, working together. When we began, I take the holy oil, I anoint the forehead of the whole team, and I anoint you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, that no unclean spirits would try to hinder you in any way, shape, or form. So the whole team that is working with me are under the anointing. Then we lock the door so nobody can come in. Then we ask Michael, the archangel, to stand at the door and protect all of us. Then I call Blessed Mother. She's our great intercessor. I call Blessed Mother. Come down, Blessed Mother. Bring the angels and the saints. Come and pray with us, for us, and through us. Then I call John Paul II, stand my right. Padre Pio, stand at my left. We have seen them. The team has seen them, and I have felt them. One time, as I said, I almost stepped on John Paul II. I felt his presence right on the side. When we call our sincere prayer, God listens to our prayer. Never doubt. Don't doubt. If you doubt, why pray? Why ask? You have to come like little children. The little child asks mommy or daddy for something. They believe mom and daddy is going to give them something. And that's what you're supposed to do. Go to him and believe like a little child. We are his children. So don't doubt what I am telling you. Because if you doubt, it won't work. You don't have trust. You don't have faith. But do it with faith in your heart, with trust, then he hears your prayer. After the room has been anointed, we make sure that all of us have our Benedictine cross. And boy, the enemy hates it. Do you know that when I prayed for that doctor, he burned my cross? Some of the ladies' rosaries were falling apart. The beads were all over the place. And some of them were snapping off the cross from the rosary. The cross was just falling off. But he burned the cross. I have the other medal. And I have it hanging there to remind me. To remind me how much power he has. But we have more power than he does. You know, he takes advantage of those people that are afraid of him. But he knows how much power we have. Because he knows who takes a prize for that power. Satan does. So he comes against those people that do not know him. But he's afraid of us. Because he knows we know who he is. Once a person is delivered, when the spirits come back again, they only come back if the dog goes back to his vomit. That's what the Bible says. I give them instructions as what they are to do if they really want to stay free. If they follow, they do. I had a 19-year-old, this happened, I think it was in May, and I told her, her social worker brought her to us, and I told her what she needed to do. And she went back, and the social worker told me, oh, she was great. She was doing fine for 10 days, and then she decided, I'm going to see if it's true what Mrs. Davis told me. Guess what? She took the medal off. She stopped crying, and it happened again. She was slashed. She was an adopted daughter. Her mother tried to abort her, and that was the spirit of death that was in her. And the way that she would do it was she would cut herself. She wanted to die. So we need to know when we have that gift of discernment, where it's come from. She also had the spirit of lust, which was from the mother. Not only the mother's side, but the father's cause. The mother had picked up a man in the street at the bar. So the poor child was born with all the ancestral spirits of a mother and a father. And this is what how we can help those people that are suffering and hurting so much. An example also, I put for so many children that have been adopted, but I have mothers in my group that when they adopt those babies, they come running and ask me, will you please pray for the babies? So we pray for those babies that are adopted to cut the generational spirit that they bring with them. I have one of our members that her two kids, well, they're not kids anymore. One is 34 and the other one is 27. That everything that the mother or the father had, the poor mother who adopted those kids has suffered through that. Another area that God has given me, and perhaps maybe Father has it also, but this happened when I was in Poland, that I couldn't reach all the areas that people were calling me to go, and I just didn't have time. I only had 10 days that God has given me, concentrating in the city. But the Lord spoke to me, and the Lord said to me, do what Paul did. God only gives me 2-3 words, and then I have to pray, and then give me the discernment, Lord, and then he wants me to use my gift of discernment. What did Paul do, Lord? I know he was a preacher. I know that he preached. I know that he healed. Then he gave me another word. Go to Acts chapter 19, verses 11 and 12, where Paul would take pieces of cloth from his body, and people would touch them, and they would be healed. So I said, but Lord, you want me to take pieces of my cloth? And he reminded me, because they had told us before we would bring tissues, because there's no tissues in Poland at that time. So we bought a stack of Kleenex, and he said, do so. So I took holy oil, I laid hands on them, and I prayed in the spirit, and I hold them in my hand. I sent the pastor and my interpreter out into the country. They took this Kleenex. They were touching people. People in Poland, out in the country, that never had heard about the Holy Spirit, never had heard of being resting in the Spirit, never prayed in tongues. The Holy Spirit was touching them. People were being healed. People were praying in him. And there was a 18, 19-year-old old boy who was born with a curvature of the back. And Regina, or the pastor, I don't know which one it was, touched the young man. That night, nothing happened. Regina and the pastor came back to Krakow, town of the city of Krakow, and she told them that we were staying in Krakow, but she did not say where. And I was moving. And it's just like you guys say, you're always in Washington, and if I don't give you an address, how are you going to find out? But listen to this. In the morning, when the boy got out of bed, his back was completely healed. The father said, I must go find that woman. And he and the son got on a rented bus from the country, right, and arrived in Krakow about 5 o'clock in the morning. The father said, I know I'm going to find that woman. He had it in his heart. They walked the streets, and I was going to Mass at different hours. So he did not know that I was at what church I was going to go to. But what I'm sharing with you is so that you can see how the Holy Spirit works. When he wants his message to get across, nothing happens. After spending much time in a church and Mass, and then after Mass, before the Blessed Sacrament, we were walking through this park, my assistant, my interpreter, and I. And here comes this man crossing this park. And he hollered at Regina, because Regina was a Polish woman. So Marilyn and I kept on going, looking at the beautiful flowers in the park, and she went out there to talk to the man. And all of a sudden, we hear them crying. So we go and see why they were crying. So then Regina said, Stella, and she told me the story. From that day, every church, Protestant or Catholic that I was visiting, I told them that story. And remember, it was communist. People said, I have people in Russia, I have people in here, there, in the different communist countries. They were asking for Kleenex because they could put them in an envelope and send them to their family, and they wouldn't even know what was in the envelope because it was a Kleenex. So the Lord knows, probably when I get home to be with the Lord, I will see all the people that were healed. I came home with that message that God had given me. And now, literally, thousands and thousands of people have been healed through a prayer. And that's also what we do give the people that we, when we pray for deliverance or for healing. Take this and put it in. People that have been in coma for 6 months. An example, in Colombia. I don't know if you know about the Minute of Christ. It's a radio station. But they have a huge, I would say over 1,000 charismatic people in that program. I was speaking there, and the man came, he was a lawyer, and he said, would you please go pray for my friend? He's been in a coma for 6 months. And I said, I don't have time, you know, I have all these people, and by the time I finish, it'll be late, and I have to catch a plane the next day. I said, but I'll give you a prayer call. He was a lawyer himself. When I gave him the Kleenex, he kind of, you know, felt like, gosh. Kleenex, when I'm asking for her to pray for my buddy that is laying there in the hospital. I said, you just touch him. And he did. He took the prayer call. 24 hours later, as I was in another prayer group, the place was packed. I mean, very packed with people. The Colombian people are very perfect people. And there was a man. And I was up on the stage. The music was going. Lastly, praising the Lord, and everybody just praising the Lord, having a wonderful time with the Holy Spirit. And the Lord says, get down and go pray for that man in a wheelchair. Sometimes the Lord tells us to do things we kind of hate to, but He calls us to do it. We have to be obedient. So I go down there, and I lay hands and pray for him for 1 second. And then I said, get up. And he looks at me, and then his buddy, who spoke English, who was the lawyer, the patient was also lawyer. He said, this is the man was laying in bed in a coma at the hospital that you gave me a Kleenex. And he said, the hospital, I had a hard time trying to get him out because the hospital would not let me bring him out. And I had to sign papers, being a lawyer. I had to sign papers that if something happened to him, the hospital was not going to be responsible for it. He was sitting in a chair, wires hanging all over him, but he was awake. And you're telling me to get up. I am saying what the Holy Spirit is saying to me. So don't tell somebody to do something if the Holy Spirit doesn't tell you. So I said, get up. He's a big man, but he was tall. So I said, put him in my shoulder. He's got all those wires all over. They get him out of the chair, we're walking up. And I walk him back, and I said, you walk by yourself. I can't. I said, yes, you can. Now, the Lord, in the countries where the interpreter's not around, or my interpreter gets tired, or the interpreter's not translating the words that God has given me, I began to speak that language. I don't know what I say, but I let people do. I remember the Japanese, speaking Japanese, mm-hmm. They were crying. They would always say to me, I wish I knew what I was saying. They were all crying, but I was being judged. Anyway, I said to the Lord, say thank you, Jesus, for healing me. So he began to say thank you, Jesus, for healing me. So then I said, get the wheelchair, put it in, take it to the hospital, tell them, take all those things off. This is the power of the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters. I can do that. No doctor can do that. He can, Dr. Jesus can. Just building your faith. I'm just giving you little nuts and bolts. So that you can look forward and God can work through you like that. You can walk on water, but don't move down. You pray for the sermon before you pray for the person. It may be that the person needs a very good confession. They don't need deliverance, or that they may need inner healing. Then again, this is why it's important that we have the gift of discernment. It may be that he needs or she needs to be instructed how to go and make a very good confession. Or that person can ask the priest, help me to make a very good confession. And that's all the person can do. And that will help the team a lot. Maybe you just put the frosting on the cake by just laying hands and praying on this person. But if it's an inner healing, then you have to take the child from the time it was placed in the mother's womb and all the way up to what age they're in. That's why you need that gift of discernment to discern every detail that God wants to heal that person from. I remember one case, he just brought that to me for an example. Then he gave me, as I was praying for the young lady, a tree by the water. And I said to the young lady, I don't know what it is, but the Lord has shown me a tree and there's water by it. And she started crying so hard. And she said, yes, yes, that's why I'm suffering. I was 11 years old and I was raped by a man by the water. My brothers and sisters, to know the pain of the people, to understand what they're going through, it's a pain that God gives us also to help them. Sometimes He allows us to cry with them, to help them be set free. God has told me the trauma of especially the children, some women, but the children that have been molested. And in such a confused mind of the child that they don't want to leave. They cannot have a normal life. I have prayed for homosexuals and they have been molested and they want to be set free. They're not happy. They call themselves gay, but they're not happy. They're very confused. They're hurting. They're ashamed. Just in September, one of the young men that we prayed for deliverance married a beautiful young Christian lady that was in the prayer community. And he told us, in my heart, oh, I always knew that I was a man, but I was raped by my uncle. Then I began to trace. It was not only the uncle, it was the grandfather, it was the third, fourth generation. And that spirit, at the fourth generation, the great-grandfather was a womanizer. So it's the spirit of lust that causes that. The Holy Spirit has told me. It is the spirit of lust, and it comes in different forms. They say they've been born like that. Yeah, they've been born with that ancestral spirit. But as they grow, they're confused. And they think that that's what they're supposed to do. But it's the spirit. The young man got married September, the first Saturday of September. He invited me to his wedding. He was so happy. We delivered him four times. That spirit in him, a homosexual, roll on the floor like a roller coaster, foam at the mouth, and scream loud. And when he let go of that young man, the young man was like a piece of rag. He couldn't even move. But all he would say to us was, a ton of bricks have been removed from me. I can breathe. I can breathe now. And that was the beginning of him turning his life. And then we pray, Lord, help me find a nice woman, a Catholic woman that loves you, that will help him to grow spiritually. I don't know how long it took, but it wasn't even a year, just months, when he met this young lady at the prayer room. She fell in love with him, and he fell in love with her. Now, brothers and sisters, we can go to the moon. We can walk on the moon in space. God has given us such wisdom and knowledge. But in the same token, God has given us that wisdom and knowledge here on this earth in our spiritual realm, that we may know and understand how to help His people. I hate to stop right now, but the time has gone so fast, hasn't it? When I'm speaking about the Lord, I forget the time. I'm saying, God has given us the wisdom and the knowledge and the discernment to help God's people. Now you know, and no doctor and no psychiatrist can tell me any different, because I know. I've seen it with my eyes, and I have proof. We need to help our people. We need to pray for our people. Feel sorry when you see them, because they're hurting. And say to the Lord, use me as an instrument, open a door that I could help them to be open to be known. They want to be normal, like a man to be normal. Let's help them. They want to be women, women that have been molested, women that have been abused. That's another area. You have to be able to discern it. That some of those lesbians have had husbands that have abused them, but they can be delivered and set free. So have compassion, the compassion of the love of the Lord, and not point the fingers, because they need to. God wants you to help us. God wants us to help them, because they can't help themselves. He has no hands but our hands. He has no lips but our lips to speak to them. And some of them need a hug from a woman. A man needs a hug from a woman. Don't be ashamed to put your arms around them. Let them feel the love of the Blessed Mother and give them a hug. Let them feel the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. So compassion, love, understanding, discernment, prayer before the Blessed Sacrament, the Eucharist, all those are things that we all need to do His will.